In chapter 2. Let me read you a few verses and then I'll remind you what we've been studying and where we're going. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now that last verse in verse 7 is, there's a mystery there called the mystery of iniquity. And I kind of need to go back over what we've been studying in Sunday school. We're talking about the seven mysteries of Paul. And that Paul says in Ephesians 3, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that's what this time period is here, the dispensation of the grace of God, there's Paul, which was given to me by revelation, how God made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. This dispensation of the grace of God is the whole time period and the revelation of truth about the mystery, God's purpose in the mystery, our calling according to grace, is all revealed to the Apostle Paul, and it's just called the mystery. But then Paul talks about it was given unto him the mysteries. And if we look at Paul's epistles, there are seven different mysteries that are just different aspects of the mystery. And so we started looking at it. There was the mystery of the gospel, and that had to do with how complete the cross work was that God could even have a dispensation of grace. There's the mystery of Israel's fall and God's turning to the Gentiles, because that's a mystery that God would have this dispensation of grace and turn to us Gentiles in salvation, for salvation. Apart from Israel, that Israel has fallen, and they too, like the Gentiles, have to come to God through grace in this dispensation of grace. In the kingdom program, Gentiles were going to get saved through the nation of Israel. But now Gentiles are being saved through the fall of Israel. That's never been known before. So that's called the mystery of Israel's fall and God turning to the Gentiles. Then we studied what's called the great mystery in Ephesians 5. And the great mystery is the aspect that in this dispensation of grace, God's forming the body of Christ and we are one with him now, not going to be one with him, that we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And when it looks like Paul's talking about marriage and husband and wife, he says, "But I speak of Christ and the church," that we are one with the Lord Jesus Christ in this age of grace, and that's one as the body of Christ in Christ, and that's the great mystery. Then we took from there and began to study the mystery of godliness, and that God is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and great is the mystery of godliness. And godliness, the great mystery is we're one in Christ. The mystery of godliness is Christ in us. And that God today is manifest in us, that God, the church, we are the church, the body of Christ, we're the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, but we represent God here on earth, that he's ministering in us in this world today, that we are to make manifest the Lord Jesus Christ and the riches of God's grace. And so we studied the mystery of godliness. Well, when God interrupted, he had Israel's program, and then he interrupted Israel's program. There was going to be salvation to the Gentiles through the nation of Israel. God's going to judge the world, save Israel, and for 1,000 years reign, and the gospel goes out to the Gentiles during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But when God postponed that, and saving Gentiles by his grace through the cross work of Christ, apart from his program with the nation of Israel. When God did that and began the mystery of the age of grace, all of a sudden you read here where the Apostle Paul talks about Satan and his goal and his policy of evil, but he says in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That when God changed his program, all of a sudden Satan has a program called the mystery of iniquity. Satan changed what he was doing based on what God was doing. And so there's this, just as there's this mystery of godliness, what God's doing in us, there's the mystery of iniquity, what Satan is doing in the world to oppose what God is doing. And that's what this verse is about. It is interesting, the way we've been taking that when you looked at the different mysteries, like you start out the mystery of the gospel, not only how we're saved and how complete the cross is, but God saving us today by his grace, in this dispensation of grace, how that leads to the explanation of the fall of Israel and God turning to the Gentiles. And then that leads to the understanding of the great mystery, who we are. We're the members of the body of Christ. And then that leads to the next, God in us, in the world that we're living in today, and manifesting Christ in our life. And then if God is working in us, what is Satan doing? Well, you have it in this passage here, the mystery of iniquity. Now, just to get a little bit more grasp on the context of this passage before we go on, if you look I'm going to start back in verse 1. And to me, this is, out of all of Paul's epistles, this is the chapter that would teach you when the rapture is going to take place. The other verses teach you there is a rapture. In fact, by the way, we said there's 7 Pauline mysteries. This is number 5. The mystery of iniquity. The next mystery that we're going to study will be the mystery of our translation, which we're talking about translated into heaven, the rapture. And Paul says, "I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And then after that, the last mystery, the 7th mystery, is in Ephesians chapter 1. It's God has made known unto us the mystery of his will. And that'll be the conclusion of the 7 mysteries. So we still have those to go. But before we even get into the translation, this is certainly one that's going to teach you about the rapture. But our point here is really to focus in on that mystery of iniquity. So again, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." So you immediately realize we're not waiting for the Lord to come to the earth, that when he comes, we're going to be gathered to him. And you know from 1 Thessalonians, we're going to be gathered in the air. But he's beseeching them not to be soon shaken in verse 2. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." Now they got some kind of message and a thought, a doctrine, a spirit, a word, or a letter, as if Paul wrote it, saying that the day of Christ was at hand. I want you to see real clearly in verse 3 that when it says at hand in verse 2, they're shook because they think it's here, not soon to come. If you thought the rapture was tomorrow, would you be worried about that? Shook up about that? Or would you just stay up all night waiting? Yeah. See, when he says the day of Christ is at hand, here it doesn't mean far away, it means already here. And you know that because of verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you." See, they've been deceived in verse 2. "Let no man deceive you by any means, whether by spirit, by word, by letter, as from Paul. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." Come means be here, right? And that's what they thought it was here. And he's saying, no, that day will not come until there's a falling away first has to come, and then the man of sin is going to be revealed. Notice in verse 3, it calls him two things. The man of sin, comma, the son of perdition. But when it says there's going to be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, when we talk about revealing here, we're not talking about the revealing of the son of perdition. We're talking about the revealing of the man of sin. And if you understand future events in the tribulation, the first person that shows up is a political person who is the Antichrist. He unites the world. There's going to be, in the middle of that tribulation, 3.5 years in, he's going to experience a death. And when he arises from the dead, so to speak, it's kind of a fake thing, but it's going to deceive the whole world, Satan's going to be energizing that man. And it's not his power that's going to activate when these miracles take place. It's going to be Satan in this man. And then that's when Satan entered into Judas. Judas was called the man of sin, the son of perdition. So he starts out as the man of sin and then becomes the son of perdition in the second half. But we're talking about here the revealing of the man of sin. That man of sin won't be revealed until there's a falling away first. Now, the falling away is an apostasy. There's going to be a great deception in the earth. But there's a reason there's going to be a great deception in the earth. Look at verse 4. Concerning this man of sin, the son of perdition, here's his goal. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, so that he, or that is worshipped. I want to keep putting the he in there. Again. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. So you realize the goal of Satan is to exalt himself to be like the Most High, and that nobody in the world worships anybody or any god except for him. He wants to be worshipped as God. So it goes on to say, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he's going to deceive the world and cause the world to think that he's actually God. Now Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. But Satan's going to enter into this man of sin and then try to deceive the world that he is God. And that's when it says sitteth in that temple, that's where he's going to destroy the image that he's going to set up in the temple. And all the world's going to worship that image. And that's the image of the beast. He's going to set that up so that represents him being worshipped as God, and rather than God being worshipped in the temple of Israel. Verse 4 actually tells you what is Satan's ultimate goal. Well, that's real clear. And we know it from Isaiah 14. He wants to be worshipped as God. But here he's going to actually set it up on earth where he is going to be worshipped as God. So it says in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. So when Paul went to the Thessalonians, he told them that this age is coming. Here's what Satan wants to do. But when he told them, why did Paul talk about these ages when we live in the dispensation of grace? Well, look at the next verse. Remember ye not that when I was with you, back in verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. This is not his time. By Paul coming to us Gentiles, God has postponed this time period. Paul explains this is the dispensation of the grace of God. And God interrupted Israel's program. Here's what would have happened if God did not interrupt Israel's program. But by the interruption of the dispensation of grace, this has been postponed. So that's why he can say, talks about him coming to them, and he says, now you know what withholdeth. You know what's holding that off. That he might be revealed, now catch that phrase, in his time. God's going to give Satan his time. He's going to have his time. Today's not his time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Then there's going to be Satan's time destroyed by the Lord's time, the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. And so Satan's time is coming, but it's not, hasn't come yet. They thought it was here, but Paul said, don't get all shook up. You know it's not here. You remember when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Look down in verse 7. He says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So if Satan isn't allowed to continue this time, it's not his time. This time has been postponed. Did Satan just say, okay, I'm retired now until God's done with the age of grace? No, he says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Satan is now working in a different way called the mystery of iniquity. Satan's policy, we know he wants to be worshipped as God, but that's not going to happen today. So God started the mystery of the age of grace, and Satan then shifted his attention to what God's doing in the mystery of the age of grace, and is working as the mystery of iniquity. He's working against what God is doing here, not what God is going to do out here. So Satan shifted, but that mystery of iniquity. And ultimately, when we say Satan wants to be worshipped as God, that's still his desire here. A kind of sneak preview is, if Satan could deceive your doctrine, where you're not believing the doctrine of grace, but you're believing false doctrine, and he's the one manipulating that, who are you following? The Lord or Satan? So there's a lot of people following Satan because they've been deceived by the mystery of iniquity. They don't really know what Satan's doing today. Especially, we'll get into that in a moment. Everyone thinking about demon possession, you know, someone spewing out green slime and their head spinning around. That's not how Satan's working at all today. A mystery of iniquity, just look at the pulpit. You'll find where Satan's working today. But you have to know that from the Bible, because the Bible is going to reveal Satan's mystery of iniquity, how Satan is working. But before I go back to that, verse 7 says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." So it's working in this age of grace. "Only he who now letteth." Now that word "let" means to hinder something. In tennis, when you hit the, if you hit the net on a serve, you yell "let." And that means hindrance, because you're not allowed to let the net. During the regular play, you hit the net and get a good bounce or something, get the point, you're allowed to do that. But on a serve, you can't let the net interfere with the serve. So if you're receiving it and they hit the net, you yell "let." And that means they got to do it over. If they do it twice, they lose that serve. So "let's" not a word that we don't use today. It's an older word, but it actually means to hinder. So it says, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work." So it's working. "Only he who now letteth," or hindereth, "will let," hinder, "until he be taken out of the way." And then when he's taken out of the way, what will happen? "And then shall the wicked be revealed." Who are we waiting to be revealed? Back up in verse 3, the man of sin. The man of sin begins the tribulation. The 7 years begins with the revealing of the man of sin, only he's not revealed because he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now back up in verse 6, it says, "You know what withholdeth." Now that "what" became a "he." And what did we learn about the age of grace? What withholdeth? The dispensation of the grace of God. He who now hinders. The mystery of godliness. God's in us today. He's the church of the living God. God's alive on earth today. And what he's doing in the body of Christ in this age of grace is hindering Satan from achieving what he wants to achieve in the prophetic program. But when he, the body of Christ, is taken away, then can you imagine the deception that's going to be on this earth? There's going to be a falling away. You bet there's going to be a falling away. We get raptured out before that tribulation begins. The man of sin can set up his kingdom on this earth and deceive the nations. And then it's when he signs that treaty with Israel, he's revealed. And then what is he going to do when he's revealed? He'll ultimately be Satan sitting in the temple declaring himself to be God. And then as you read down, Jesus Christ destroys him at his second coming and sets up his kingdom. So I set that up just so that you realize that what God is doing today, what he's doing, the dispensation of grace, and the he, which sometimes you call that, is it the Holy Spirit or is it the body of Christ? Well, where is the Holy Spirit today? He's in the body of Christ. And he, we're the body of Christ. That's a he. We're not a bride, we're not a woman, we're one with Jesus Christ, we're going to be raptured out. And then that program's going to continue. So Paul's telling the Thessalonians, don't worry about you thinking that day's here, it's not here yet. And things going to take place first, and you won't even be here when that day takes place. So with that information then, we want to talk about and focus in on then, what exactly is the mystery of iniquity? And Satan's policy of evil, we know what he wants to accomplish here. And by the way, you know, when Paul writes the Corinthians, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, even in the age of grace, when he talks about unsaved Gentiles, he says, they worship devils. You know, when Gentiles in the Old Testament turned to idolatry and only Israel believed in the true and living God, didn't Satan have all the Gentiles as his people? And that they were worshiping him, that was his goal, to be worshiped, right? All he needed Israel to join them, and they did. They crucified Christ, and Christ says, you reject me, he that comes after me, you're going to receive. That's the Antichrist. So Satan has almost got his mystery of iniquity working until God interrupted the program, turned to us Gentiles, and by his grace, start saving Gentiles. Later on, we'll be in the book, maybe we'll get to the book of Colossians, not in Sunday school, in the 11 o'clock hour. But there's a verse there that says, we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's us Gentiles. Satan, who had us already worshiping him in the age of grace, we get saved from the power of darkness and get translated into the kingdom of God's Son. God turned around and robbed Satan of the Gentiles that he already owned. That is so neat. So anyhow, when God did that, Satan had to change the way he works. Now, I've thought about the best way for me to illustrate this is that this statement, the mystery of iniquity, before we talk about how Satan is working according to the mystery of the age of grace against what God is doing, Satan's policy of evil against the mystery of God's grace, the most obvious way to see that is to know how was Satan working before this age and during the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan was working against what God was doing then. So let me point this out to you. Come back to Matthew chapter 4. Because this will answer some questions for you. In Matthew chapter 4, you realize Jesus Christ is about to begin his ministry. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Matthew. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So all of a sudden now you see Satan operating. Jesus Christ has come. And remember what they're preaching. They're preaching the good news of the kingdom. The king is here. So Satan immediately is going to attack the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things he does to attack him is in verse 8. It says again, one of the temptations, and again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou bow down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Why did he show him all the kingdoms of the world? Yeah. Well, not only do they belong to him, Satan has deceived, that's a good point, but Jesus Christ has come to set his kingdom up in this world. And Satan says, hey, you bow to me, I'll give them all. Because Satan, don't forget, he wants to exalt himself above the stars of God. He wants to be like the Most High over heaven and earth. So Jesus Christ, you follow me, I'll give you the earth. That's what you're here for anyhow, I'll give it to you. So what's Satan's plan of iniquity, policy of evil in the kingdom program? Is trying to get Jesus Christ to come into his kingdom, let him be king over Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ be king over the earth, just what he came to do. And he failed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 4, this is where we pointed out even last week, look at verse 17. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The good news that's being preached is the good news about the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout Syria, and they brought unto him all that was sick and all that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. So as Jesus Christ is talking about the gospel of the kingdom and saying good news to them, because there is no understanding of the age of grace, here's Jesus Christ, and he's preaching. By the way, this is only 1 year here. Jesus Christ ministered 3 years. So you're just talking about 4 years away, begins the 7 years of tribulation. So 11 years after that, the kingdom's going to come. It's at hand. And so when he begins to preach about the kingdom of heaven's at hand, he begins to heal, but among the healing, he's casting out devils. Why is there such demon possession when you read about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ? Because God had made a promise in the Old Testament, a land to Abraham and a throne to David that was going to be established forever, right? So he's trying to stop Jesus Christ from being that son of David that's going to sit on the throne of David and reign over the nation of Israel in the land of Israel that was promised Abraham. Satan had taken all of his demons and sent them to earth, and not just anybody, they didn't care about the Gentiles, were already worshiping the devil. He concentrates his effort to the land of Israel. And there's all kinds of demon possession and activity in the land of Israel to prevent Jesus Christ from having his kingdom here on earth. When he sent the 12 apostles out, chapter 10. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Where is Israel housed? Now you got the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What are those two terms? The lost sheep are Israel who's not looking for their Messiah, right? But where do they live? In the land. There is Jews outside the land, but it's not time to go to the Jews outside the land. They only went from Galilee down to Jerusalem. They're covering the house of Israel, where Israel is housed. So he tells them to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. So they're preaching that same message, but look what they're also doing in verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. So even the apostles are going to go, and later the 70 that join them, they all go out. And the 70 say in Luke, they say, even the demons are subject to our word. I mean, they're amazed. They're just, why is there so much demon possession in the land? Because Jesus Christ has come to that place to set up his kingdom. And Satan's attack is on what God is doing, and so Satan concentrated his efforts there. Look at back here. Go back to Zechariah, and go to chapter 12 first. That's Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Second to last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah. And chapter 12. I tell you, I wanted to do this backwards. Go to 14 first. Zechariah 14, verse 1. It says, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. He's going to gather the nations. He's going to judge them. Verse 3, Then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet, verse 3, that's the Lord. And by the way, in verse Zechariah 14:3, Lord there is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, right? Whose name is that? Jehovah. That's Jehovah. And so when you get to verse 4, it says, His feet shall stand on that day of the Mount of Olives. Who's that?
Jesus.
Yeah, well, if you answer Jesus, you're right. If you say Jehovah, you're right. Why? Because Jesus is Jehovah. There's a verse that tells you who Jesus is. And he's God in flesh. And so his feet is going to stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And then, you know, it's going to be divided. Verse 9 says, And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. Over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. And then verse like 16, It shall come to pass that everyone that... One that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep his feast and so forth. Anyhow, everything is about in chapter 14 is the Lord is going to come back, save the nation of Israel, and be king over all the earth. See that? Go back to chapter 13. 12. No, 13 what I want, but we don't have time to go to 12. That was the only bell. Look at chapter 13 and look at verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 1, it says, I have to start in verse 1. In that day, we're talking about that day, Christ coming back. There shall be a fountain open in the house to the house of David for the and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for iniquity. They're going to cleanse the nation of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. So when they're preaching about the kingdom, God's going to rid that land of demon possession, is he not? So as Jesus Christ is here talking about that kingdom coming, he's casting out devils because Satan knows what God wants to do and he's opposing it. God's not setting up a kingdom today. Satan is not, these things that we're talking about Satan doing, that's not what Satan's doing today. God has interrupted that kingdom for the age of grace, and so Satan changed his operating policy, his plan of evil against God, so that when he finds out what God is doing, then he starts his mystery of iniquity. And we'll learn from Paul's epistles how Satan is operating today. So that's an introduction to the mystery of iniquity. We'll continue it next week. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for our Sunday school class and for the opportunity to take and study these different aspects about the mystery of the age of grace in which we live, and realize how important it is to rightly divide the word of truth so that we might conduct the spiritual warfare that we're involved in and not battle things that Satan is not doing today. And so we thank you for the introduction to this study. We also thank you for a fellowship time, and we pray that it might be a real blessed time as the saints sit and talk and get to know one another and share their experiences and even share their testimony of salvation one with another. And so we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.